Hi, this is Jennifer Konweiler, host of the Introvert Ally podcast. Today, my guest is Matthew Pollard. Matthew is responsible for 5 multi-million dollar business success stories, all before the age of 30. He believes that his humble beginnings, the adversities he faced, and his rise to success show that anyone with the right motivation and strategies can achieve anything they set their mind to. He's on the top list of global gurus, Sales World, and Big Speak. And Matthew is also the author of the Introvert's Edge book series, which has sold over 75,000 copies and has been translated into 16 languages. Hello, Matt, or Matthew, I should say. Which would you prefer?
You know, I always prefer Matt, except for when I'm doing media, just because my website's Matthew Pollard, right? So, you know, I always knew in my personal life that I was in trouble if the word Matthew was said, but that's what I had to use for the website.
So you're okay with Matt, though, because I've been calling you that for several years. So I hope that is. Yeah. Well, I'm so thrilled to have you on the podcast today because for a number of reasons, the roles are a bit reversed. I think I was on yours early on when you were really diving in to the introvert space and becoming a leader.
Absolutely. One of the first introvert coaches that took me seriously when I first launched, right?
Oh, I'm glad you felt that way because there was no question of that. And I was so impressed by you then, and I had a sense that your salesmanship, if you will, and that's probably a sexist word now. I don't know if we changed it yet, but your ability at sales was really going to, back in, I think it was maybe 2018 or so, or even earlier, it was going to really help the introvert movement, because you had some very interesting ideas about how to grow the idea of introversion throughout the world. So maybe you could just tell our listeners about what brought you to this particular space, and maybe give us a little bit of a background too and a synopsis. I know that's hard, but folks can look at your website too to read the fascinating story of Matthew Pollard. But tell us a little bit how you got to introversion as a calling in your life right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think going back to your original statement around sales and helping the cause, see, I've always defined sales, well, actually, the world should define sales by the original definition, which is the Scandinavian term to serve. So I always find the best way that I can serve the introverted community is to get the word out. And that's why I'm unrelenting at, you know, for instance, we're recording this during National Introverts Week, right? So that was a week I founded to get the message out about National Introverts Week. We have a summit that we run during this year. We run during the week. We do a whole bunch of things to really drive attention to the topic. And I think that's always the way that I've looked at sales. How can I separate everything from the noise you hear online and offline? Because, you know, I teach people how to sell. Sure, I teach people how to network. But my goal is to teach you how to master the networking room so you never have to go back to one, so that people are chasing you so sales is easier. And, of course, hearing that and potentially listening to me right now, you might say, well, okay, Matt, but you're teaching introverts. Clearly, you're not an introvert. And that's because a lot of people see somebody that's articulate and see somebody that, as they are today, they don't really look at where they came from. And, I mean, for me, I had a reading speed of a sixth grader in late high school. I was super introverted. You know, during my presentations where I speak, you know, all over the world, I put up this slide of myself at my sister's wedding, and I get people to enjoy for about a second and a half before I change the slide, you know, of me at my sister's wedding with terrible acne. And I talk about that's who I was back then. I really struggled to talk to my own friends, let alone anyone else. And what happened was I after 2 years of studying, after being diagnosed with this thing called Erlen syndrome, which, you know, basically means I put on a funny pair of colored lenses and miraculously I can learn to read, not like everyone else, but start the process of learning. I really hustled and I graduated top 20% of the state, but I was exhausted. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And so I took a job at a real estate agency. And before everyone thinks I was the one out selling, I wasn't. I was the person in the back office with a look on my face, like, don't speak to me. I'm here to find myself. But 3 weeks in, I lost my job because the office closed down, and the only jobs I could get, because this was Christmas in Australia. I mean, we take our summer break and our Christmas break at the same time. We go off on the 20th of December. Most people don't come back till the 15th or 20th of January. And, you know, if you're an employer listening, or if you work in a large organization, everyone's going on a month-long holiday. No one's hiring, except for these jobs I found in the paper called commission-only sales roles. And literally there were three jobs in the paper, all called commission only, which was terrifying to me. But I promised my father that, I mean, he broke his back 80 hours a week supporting the family, that I was going to support myself. So I applied for all three jobs and I got three interviews and then I got three job offers. And I was like, maybe they see something in me I don't see in myself. Well, I took this job selling business-to-business telecommunications, and the trainer that we had, he put my perhaps excitement, confidence in myself to rest really quickly. He's like, Matt, we just hire everyone. We've got this saying, we just throw mud up against the wall and we see what sticks. Sounds fun, right? Until you realize you're the mud. So 5 days product training, not a single second of sales training. I get thrown on this road called Sydney Road in Melbourne, Australia, and I get told to go sell, except no one had taught me that. And I think a lot of people listening that think they're perhaps not in sales that are business owners, well, yeah, if you're the only one that represents your product, you're in sales, but you only realize that when you're in a networking room or when you're out, you know, actually out talking to someone. By the way, if you're in corporations listening to this, and if you ever want to do well in a job interview, if you ever, you know, if you ever want your kids to eat their broccoli, you're in sales, right? So for me, I didn't know what I wanted to, what I was going to say. So I took a deep breath. I walked into the first door and I realized pretty quickly I wasn't welcome. And then luckily I was politely told to leave. Shortly after that, I was less politely told to leave. Then I was sworn at. My personal favorite was always getting told to get a real job because this was the only job I could get. But door after door, that kept happening until I made my first sale on the 93rd door. And I remember I was ecstatic for about 45 seconds till I realized I got to do this again tomorrow and the next day and the next. And while I'd made $70, the proposition of doing that was horrible. And I think a lot of introverts, well, anyone really, accepts that sales is this gift of gab. They either have it or they don't. So they quit, which is exactly, it's like 20 people in my training group, 18 quit, 2 stuck around. I decided that sales had to be a system. So I went to work learning that system. And really, I mean, the next day, after 8 hours of practicing and learning the system, watching YouTube videos, I started to apply what I learned. And every day I got better. I'd spend 6 to 8 hours in the field, 6 to 8 hours practicing every night. And I'd do that every day. Weekends, I'd spend 8 hours practicing, 16 hours practicing until eventually I got it down to, like, it was 63 doors, then 21 doors, then 18, then 9. Eventually, every 3 doors, I'd make a sale. And about 6 weeks in, my manager pulled me aside and he's like, Matt, we just got our national sales figures. And it turns out you're the number one salesperson in the company. So that took 6 weeks. And this was the largest sales and marketing company in the Southern Hemisphere. So fast forward just shy of a decade, I got promoted 7 times in the space of the year after learning how to manage the hard way. I got thrown into it. No idea what I was doing. Everybody quit. Back to YouTube to learn how to manage. I got promoted 7 times, and then fast forward just shy of a decade, I'd been responsible for 5 multi-million dollar success stories. And really, all my success comes down to my unwillingness to accept that introversion is a deficit, a hurdle that we have to just deal with, and realizing that we have, as introverts, this natural edge. As long as we're willing to not try to be more extroverted, but lean into those strengths, we have qualities that really a lot of extroverts really struggle to compete with.
It sounds like, too, when you were growing up, you struggled, you mentioned, in school, and you had a disability, a visual disability that wasn't diagnosed till much later. It sounds like perhaps, tell me if this is right or not, that you were able to learn to compensate with other skills, like your verbal skills, because you're quite, as you say, people might mistake, you might be mistaken for an extrovert. You do have high energy. You speak, you know, rapidly sometimes when you're excited about things like now. And so I wondered if you think you might have developed some of those, and more of the extroverted side of yourself, because you had to compensate and find some hacks to deal with the struggles you had in school.
So that's a really good question. I think that anybody that has some form of disability, and look, I would say everyone has their own burdens to bear. Like, for every strength that everybody has, we have a weakness that mirrors it, right? So if anyone is really comfortable and actively outwardly spoken, then of course, then perhaps their active listening and their empathy may not be as strong. We all have, and it's not an exact science. So you've got extroverts that are shy. Like, I know everyone thinks an introvert is shy, but there are extroverts out there that are shy. So for me, yes, absolutely, I learned and strengthen certain skill sets and certain behaviors. Did I become more extroverted? Well, I don't actually think that's possible. And I know that a lot of people talk about becoming more extroverted, and some people even talk about the fact that they now live in this world of ambiversion. And you've got extroverts that say, oh, since COVID, I've become more introverted. Again, the way I define introversion is just where you draw your energy from. And for me, while I learned skill sets that meant that it took less energy to be more conversational, to be talking, like this kind of interview, because a lot of what I'm sharing is stuff that I've planned, I've rehearsed. I mean, this is my 150 plus interview. I don't get anxious beforehand, so I'm not as tired. I don't get as exhausted during, and I don't reflect in a, and there are positive and negative ways to do reflection, which we introverts do, but because of that, it doesn't make me as tired. So I could say I'm becoming more extroverted or I'm becoming ambiverted. That's not true. The fact is, it's still tiring for me. I'm still introverted. But in school, I did learn certain things. For instance, I learned that by reading the textbook, by reading the, for instance, the novel we were talking about in English class, that would have taken me the year, let alone the 3 weeks we were talking about it. So for me, I wouldn't read the book, but I would read the back. I'd watch the movie if there was one. I'd watch any summaries that were out there. And then what I would do is I would start during the internal class discussions, I would start almost arguments between people in the class about what the book was about so I could get the detail that wasn't in those sections.
You sound like a salesperson there.
But that is what introverts are great at.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love how you kind of, like you talked about, finding ways around to use your strengths. And there was one analogy you used that I'd love you to speak about. And you said, and I've heard you say this a couple of times in some of your interviews too, that introverts can sometimes be their own worst enemies in terms of how they look at themselves. And, you know, my guess is partly because of the messages they get, or, you know, that feeds into it. But the one analogy I'll just throw out here that really resonated with me was you said, you know, you brought up the analogy of Mad Men and how it was just accepted that women could never be salespeople. And you turn that to introverts. So talk a little bit about that, about the myths and how introverts can be their own worst enemies.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the Mad Men example is a perfect one, because I mean there were women, and we're not just talking sales, there were women that put barriers on themselves, and there were women that didn't want to see barriers on themselves and didn't believe there were barriers, but the world general consensus was the opposite. And while I'd like to say, you know, we fixed that problem, we know we still haven't, right? There's still work to do in that space.
Right.
But I do think that a lot of those larger battles have started to be fought and in some ways territory won, which has led to the open ability to have that conversation about introversion, because while it's important, it's perhaps not as important as some of those dialogues to have. But the way I look at introversion is that it's actually in a lot of ways the same problem, because we as introverts believe that we can't do certain things. We put these barriers on ourselves. So in a lot of ways, we've created our own artificial glass ceiling that we can't do certain things. Now, please understand that I'm not saying that if you're an introvert and you want to be a writer, you want to be a coder, you want to be a graphic designer, you want some form of quiet job. I mean, that's amazing. I just don't want you to create a glass ceiling and then not accept jobs because you don't think you can. And I know that this is a very tough line to look at, because for me, I was very happy as a data entry person finding myself, but I would not give up the life I have right now. So when you look at simple jobs, and I'll say the organizations have the biggest thing to focus on here, because there's a lot of, how do I do this, right? So we get everyone to take a personality test, but then we put them in boxes and say, Johnny can't sell because he's an introvert. We can't put Jennifer up to be a leader because she's an introvert. That's not okay. So what we need to do is first understand that extroversion, just like anything, has skills gaps and advantages. And just like extroverts can learn to empathize, they can learn to actively listen, and there's science to prove that those things can be coached and taught. Just like introverts can learn to be amazing salespeople, they can learn to be amazing networkers, amazing leaders. As a matter of fact, if you look at, you know, amazing leaders, there are a ton of introverts out there. If you look at, I mean, let's start with sales. Zig Ziglar was an introvert. You look at networking. Ivan Meisner, the founder of the world's largest networking group in the world, in a BNI, is an introvert, right? Ivan's found that in later life he was an introvert, but he is. If you look at, oh, well, hang on a second, they can't do small talk. Well, hang on a second. David Letterman, Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, all introverts. So we don't really have a reason to believe, except for the fact that we all as a world know that we can't, as introverts, succeed. So if you want to be a salesperson because perhaps you're under degree qualified and you know that that will allow you to earn amazing income, go do it. If you're an introvert that's scared of starting your own business because you feel like you can't sell a network, know that you can, and then go do it. And if you're a HR manager that's constantly telling people that they can't, or perhaps looking at resumes and deciding that these people can't, you're wrong. And you need to first, before you even consider a personality test, help people realize there's nothing wrong with either. And every one of those personality types, and, you know, look at the whole neurodivergent scales as well. Like everything, whether you're talking about gender, race, introversion, extroversion, neurodivergence, pick your battle to fight. All of those people are capable of everything. What we need to do is help them realize that, everybody across the board. And once we've done that, then perhaps do personality tests to work out where the skills gaps are and then how we can help towards what they want, mm-hmm. whatever that may be.
Right. So it's kind of a two-pronged situation, I'm hearing you say, is the people that are making these decisions, that are encouraging, even the coaches that are out there, right, who are saying you can or can't do this, HR people. We need to look at I see almost as a three-prong. You look at it in yourself. What's the bias in me? Then intentionally, what are we doing in our systems to encourage people to explore other areas? And then you're also saying it's the individual that needs to question what messages or assumptions have I absorbed that are going to keep me from moving into sales. And I love how you describe sales as not just the typical salesperson, but also everybody, whether you're corporate and certainly entrepreneurs.
Well, think about leaders. I mean, you spend your life helping people understand how to be better leaders. And really, there's a lot to be said for, we've got a lot of extroverts out there that have introverted staff and they have no idea how to manage their introverted staff. And they're like, why does Sarah never speak up in the meeting? I'm like, did you ever think about telling Sarah that what the agenda is going to be in advance? And if you want Sarah to speak out, tell her that you want her to speak out about this specific question so she can reflect. The reason she comes tomorrow and says, oh, I've got a better idea, and now you're upset with her because now you have to create another meeting, or you know that the idea that you implement is bad, is because you weren't a reflective leader. And if you're an extrovert, you can learn how to plan and prepare for that. If you're an introvert and you're upset that no one ever gives you a chance to ask questions, well, learn how to think in advance about what the topic's going to be and what questions you might want to bring up. We all have the ability to focus on making sure that we show the best version of ourselves. But what happens is we say, I'm an introvert, I can't do it, or I'm managing my extroverts and therefore I can't do it. And I mean, there are so many leaders that are amazing introverts, and there are so many extroverted leaders that have learned how to manage their introverted staff. And I will make one last point. You know, I spoke at the AAISP Leadership Summit a couple of years ago now, and then after that, I got asked to speak at their senior leadership retreat. So if you can imagine every organization that's worth noting that has sales teams goes to this meeting. And I did a survey beforehand about, are they introverted or are they extroverted? And the answers I got, because we left it open, right? You could write whatever you wanted. And I got some people say obviously introverted or extroverted, some that said they were ambiverts, and I really don't like people that that used to see themselves as introverted saying they were ambiverted.
Right.
Not because it's a great place to want to be, but it's because it sends the message to other introverts that it's not possible for them, because it's like, oh, they've always been an ambivert. But the answers I got were like, oh, I was introverted, but don't worry, I'm extroverted now. First thing, not possible. And then secondly, how is that a desirable place for an introvert? We struggle. If I try to behave extroverted, I feel inauthentic. And then afterwards, I feel anxious because it's not the way I prefer to communicate. Now, that's not to say there's anything wrong with the way that extroverts communicate. It's just not my natural way of doing things. So if I plan and prepare, what I find is introverts can be their own worst enemy. Like afterwards, we reflect and go, oh, I wish I did this. I wish I said this. I wish I did that. Well, if you're trying to behave like an extrovert, that's always going to happen because you're trying to be dynamic. As an introvert, I follow a methodical system to networking, a methodical system to sales. And because of that, I'm reflecting on what one improvement opportunity there is. And that's not as chaotic in my head because I'm constantly improving the process. And to your point, again, it's not just, you know, sales where we're talking about it. I mean, if you think about, I'm trying to sell my entire team on an initiative, or I'm trying to sell my boss on an idea that I want to see implemented, or to back to your point about, you know, women and diversity in the workplace, I'm trying to get everybody in our organization on board with creating a women in leadership inside our organization initiative. How am I going to do that? Well, you have to sell it to someone and somebody's going to have to fund it. So I got news for you. If you think you're not in sales, you're just wrong.
You are in sales. That's the number one point that we have to get across, right?
Yeah.
And so introverts, give us some specifics here about what introverts can do, what strengths they can leverage, what you have seen yourself and also with the clients that you work with, that they have done really well as introverts. And I think, as you said, we can all learn from the systems approach that you are very well known for and is in the results that you've gotten in terms of all your businesses and lifelong success. But what can introverts do to leverage? What particular strengths have you noticed or observed they can use?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I'd actually ask everybody to use their reflection is one of them, of course. I would actually ask them to use that in a really positive way, because I think reflection can be both positive and negative, right? So we introverts often use it to beat ourselves up for the silly thing we said or beating ourselves up for the thing we wished we said. So the reason why I like the systems approach, right, for sales or networking is that it makes it an external process, right? So because of that, I treat sales and networking like a methodical, in a lot of ways, a science experiment. So I'm using that reflection process to say, what improvement opportunity is there here? Now, I do want to highlight for people that I actually want them to reflect on something different first. I want them to reflect on whether or not they see introversion as a disadvantage, as an illness, as a burden that they need to bear first. And the reason why this is so important, and, you know, I discovered this during National Introverts Week when I first started, you know, I've got this whole set of imagery that I share during it, like, surprise, I'm an introvert, or people think I'm an extrovert, but I'm not. And, you know, introverts are not second-class citizens. And one of the biggest barriers for people sharing those images, and I will say, I don't even put my logos on it, because for me, this topic is not about me. It's about introverts believing that they can. But when I ask people to share those images, occasionally I get back, Matt, I would love to, and I really want to support you, but I'm just not really comfortable yet sharing that I'm an introvert. And the reason why is that people see it as a bad thing. And I will say, I've been really ecstatic to see this. I think when I joined, should we call it the introvert rank, team introvert, in the coaching world, there were only a few of us.
Pioneers.
Right?
We were the pioneers, Matt.
Well, exactly. So when I wouldn't safely say, because I think you were around many years before me, and I think when I came into it, there was only a few people. And what I've been very focused on is seeing more introverted coaches come in. And I was ecstatic because every year for Global Introverts Day and for National Introverts Week, I put this list of the coaches in the world that are doing amazing things.
Right. You've been great with that.
Yeah, my whole focus is showcasing other introverted experts and what I call secret introverted titans, which are the introverts out there that are doing amazing things that just no one knows that they're introverted. And so for me, you know, that's been a really important thing. And last year was the first year I couldn't tag them all on one LinkedIn post. There were too many and LinkedIn wouldn't let me tag any more people. So I'm ecstatic to see so many introverts come out. And if you're a HR manager, if you're somebody in your organization that is, you know, focused on helping people and you're an introvert, then put that you're an introvert on your profile so that people know. If you're a sales manager listening to this, put that you're an introvert on your profile, because it isn't a bad thing. And this is the major point that I would have. Reflect on whether it is a good thing or a bad thing. And the truth is, you'll find it's neither, right? We have certain advantages just like extroverts do. But if you're unwilling to see introversion as a positive thing, then you're also unwilling to lean into any of your strengths, because you're always going to be feeling like you need to do these things to be one of the cool kids, or to be the loudest. You have to be the loudest in the room. And you've highlighted that, you know, Australians do speak fast, but I would say that, you know, while I do speak quickly, everything that I'm speaking about, you try getting an introvert to shut up about something they're super passionate about, right? We talk about things that are our own domain expertise. We love talking about those sorts of things. So the problem is that people will say, oh, well, he's obviously less introverted than I am. Well, I am perhaps now, but I wasn't when I started. So reflect, and the first thing that I want everyone to agree is that introversion is not a bad thing. Just like some people may see themselves as overly extroverted and they beat themselves up about the fact that they wish they just stopped talking and let somebody else have an opportunity, because that happens all the time too. And that is also okay. We need to reflect on these things and realize that therefore we now understand that we have strengths and weaknesses.
So accept yourself as one. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just saying, so you would tell introverts who are trying to be better at sales, accept yourself and just embrace that. And what else should they lean into, Matt? What else would you suggest?
Absolutely. So yes, they need to lean into it, and then they need to lean into vocalizing that more often than they think. When you're out networking, 50% of the world's population almost is an introvert. So when you tell someone you're an introvert, firstly, the extrovert is going to put you under their arm and go, no worries, let me introduce you to everyone. And right. The introvert's going to go, well, thank you. Me too. Let's hang out more. Now, I will say, if you're going to a networking room and you haven't connected with a bunch of people beforehand, and that way your networking room feels like a bunch of pre-planned meetings, then you're missing out, right? Because when I walk into a room, half the room that I connected with is introverted, and they're going to look at me and go, oh, a familiar face, and they're going to walk straight over to me. So planning and preparation, I find, are other huge introverted strengths. And I'll give you an example. I spoke at Intel a few years ago, and, you know, it was the Global Sales and Marketing Leadership Summit, right? So their largest event, they had about 100 people come, and these were all the highest ranking people at Intel. And after I spoke, I was staying at the A-Loft, and I discovered the bad way that they didn't have room service, right? Because as an introvert, I retreat to my room after a keynote.
You need that you need to recharge, right? And decompress.
Exactly. But what I found was they didn't. So I had to go down to the bar restaurant to get a bite to eat. And I was just waiting for my meal. And one of the people that heard me speak came down afterwards, and he said, Matt, I hope I'm not disturbing you, which I'm never allowed to say that somebody is. He said, but I really resonated with your presentation because, and he continued, and we, for 30 minutes, we had a dialogue. And he said, but I'm just so comfortable speaking to you because I now know your whole story. And I said, that's really interesting, because what I know about Intel is you're considered a newbie if you haven't been here for 20 years. I said, so like, is everybody new in leadership, or are most of these people the ones that were there this year, last year, the year before, the last 10 years? No, most of them are new. Do you not have a list of who's coming? Well, no, there's a list and it's all on the invite. So why would you not reach out to the people you want to talk to beforehand? I go profile shopping and look at all the people that are going and who I'd like to connect with and what they're into, what books they're reading, connect with them so they know I'm coming and they know I'm expecting to talk to them. If I'm going to a meetup group, I do the same thing. And I say, I'm really passionate about helping small business owners. Is this a very good event for me to come to? Yes. And make sure you say hi when you're there. Now I don't feel terrified to go and speak to someone, and I haven't connected with anyone that sells insurance either, right? So I'm not walking up to the first person I see and about to get an insurance pitch. So reflection, planning, preparation, those are our superpowers, and we have to lean into them.
Perfect. And you're an example of I've seen you do it. And your systems approach, I just want to bring that up one more time, because I think you're a real master at that. And I think when you talked about watching the YouTube videos and figuring out a way to learn a system, I think that, you know, I had my biggest surprise with my first book, The Introverted Leader, when I created the four P's, which help leaders. And my editor was pushing me to do that. Steve's very introverted and he's very much around system. And he said, you need to hang these tools on something. And I pushed back against it, Matt, because, you know, I'm extroverted and let's go with the flow. But that was the biggest takeaway from the book that I still get asked about, because it was a system for how you can lead. And it was something you hang your hat on. And I really resonated with when you said, with the networking system, with the sales system. One other thing I'll share that I'm smiling at is that on social media, occasionally I'll see an interview that we did, several years ago, when you efficiently created a podcast over a couple of days. And I still keep seeing these clips. And I remember asking you about it one time and you said, oh, I have a system for that that puts them up there. And I'm like, oh, here. From a few years ago, but it's effective. It's effective. So talk a little bit about the systems approach for introverts.
Absolutely. And I will say, I mean, this isn't new stuff. Like Brian Tracy, who is an extrovert, by the way, will say that the top 10% of all sales performers have a planned presentation. The bottom 80% will just say whatever comes out of their mouth. Now, of course, introverts sit at the bottom of that and extroverts sit at the top of that. And they're a little bit louder about the fact that they are great salespeople. So that's what we hear. But the top 10%, planned presentation is the key word. And what you'll find, and Jeffrey Gittemore, who's another really big extrovert, he and I, I was on his podcast, and, you know, we talked about I mean, his interviews are about 20 minutes long. We spoke for about an hour in that podcast. And one of the things that he highlighted during that interview was until he started focusing on a methodical system and process, he couldn't teach people. Because as an extrovert, you can't train people, hey, it's easy, you just do this. Because for half the room, it's not easy for them, the introverts. And then the extroverts, there's no continuous improvement in that. And that's the same. It applies for networking. It applies for leadership. And you're right. I mean, my system for social media, again, it's about really understanding who I was, right? So on the Introvert's Edge podcast that you were on, and thank you for that because you're one of my original guests. What I did was I interviewed a whole bunch of Titan introverts, introverted topic matter experts. And because I was never going to be on social media taking a photo of my donut or my dog for something to say. It's just not who I am. I'm planned, I'm prepared, I'm methodical. And what I've learned is if you can't be the loudest, you have to be the clearest. Like if you can't articulate the value of what you provide when somebody's politely listening face to face, you've got no chance online. So I see people blogging every day, podcasting every day, posting on social media every day about all these irrelevant things just to be the loudest. I'm always here. Remember, I'm still available. I'm still here. I'm the loudest in the room. I don't do that. I post far less than everyone else. And a lot of what I post is repurposed content from things that I've recorded while I was standing on stage or while I was doing an interview. But my message is always on point because it's planned and prepared. I focus on a certain number of topics, a certain number of dialogues. And when I started, I had 300 and something posts and we just shared them in repeat over a few months. And people are like, well, isn't that going to upset certain people that are following you? And the truth was, yes, perhaps the people that have been following me for a while, but they should have already been started reading my books. And then later, when I created more content, we then built a whole bunch of other stuff. And now we've got so much content in there that people are always seeing new and dynamic stuff. But for me, if I'm going to spend a day like this week, I'm going to focus on National Introverts Week. If I've got to think about all the videos and all the things that I've got to do, and I've got to do that all organically in front of a camera every year, that's exhausting. I don't want to run it. But if I can use the things that I've run from the last few years and then put in a few new pieces of content, well, that's exciting for me because then I'm building and I see that momentum moving forward. Sales without a system is a roller coaster ride based on your emotions. And for an extrovert, even that is bad. Some days you're having a good day and you're closing deals. And that's where the best time to make a sale is right after your last one. Then you have a fight with your spouse or your child does something wrong or your mortgage payment goes up and you freak out. And now all of a sudden your sales plummet. Well, extroverts have that roller coaster ride. For me as an introvert, there is the occasional day an extrovert would beat me. But day after day, I would be improving and I would be following that stepping stone process. And that is why every single day, eventually, I won out. And for introverts that are listening specifically, whether you're talking about leadership, whether you're talking about sales, whether you're talking about networking, small talk, pick your topic. What you need to do is you need to find a system that you resonate with. And I want to make this clear. Like, yes, I've got the word introvert stamped on my book. So does Jennifer. And that's great. But there are thousands of other introverts that have written books on all of these topics too. What you need to do though is you need to get past your belief barrier that you can do this. And so that's why sometimes a book on introversion helps, right? Or a book on understanding your skill sets to network as an introvert. But what you need to do is once you've realized that this person is an introvert, you need to follow one system so that you can follow it. Like Henry Ford used to say, you can have any color car you want as long as it's black. Don't worry about the bells and whistles. We introverts are classic. It's what I call busy procrastination. We love to overcomplicate things so we never have to do them, right? We read 1,000 books on the topic and we try and splice them all together. That doesn't work. Focus on one specific system and follow it to the letter every single time until you feel totally comfortable. So that you've gone from kind of conscious incompetence to conscious competence. Once you feel like you've got that, then you can add on the bells and whistles. And I would go one step further. At that point, only read one other person's book and look at what you can add in. And do not focus on more than one thing at a time. So if you're really into leadership, read Jennifer's book or find another introverted leader that you can follow. If you're into sales or networking,
hi,
Hi, this is Jennifer Konweiler, host of the Introvert Ally podcast. Today, my guest is Matthew Pollard. Matthew is responsible for 5 multi-million dollar business success stories, all before the age of 30. He believes that his humble beginnings, the adversities he faced, and his rise to success show that anyone with the right motivation and strategies can achieve anything they set their mind to. He's on the top list of global gurus, Sales World, and Big Speak, and Matthew is also the author of the Introvert's Edge book series, which has sold over 75,000 copies and has been translated into 16 languages. Hello, Matt, or Matthew, I should say. Which would you prefer?
You know, I always prefer Matt, except for when I'm doing media, just because my website's Matthew Pollard, right? So, you know, I always knew in my personal life that I was in trouble if the word Matthew was said, but that's what I had to use for the website.
So you're okay with Matt, though, because I've been calling you that for several years. So I hope that is. Yeah. Well, I'm so thrilled to have you on the podcast today because for a number of reasons. The roles are a bit reversed. I think I was on yours early on when you were really diving in to the introvert space and becoming a leader.
Absolutely. One of the first introvert coaches that took me seriously when I first launched, right?
Oh, I'm glad you felt that way because there was no question of that. There was no question of that. And I was so impressed by you then, and I had a sense that your salesmanship, if you will, and that's probably a sexist word now. I don't know if we changed it yet, but your ability at sales was really going to back, and I think it was maybe 2018 or so, or even earlier. It was going to really help the introvert movement because you had some very interesting ideas about how to grow the idea of introversion throughout the world. So maybe you could just tell our listeners about what brought you to this particular space. Maybe give us a little bit of a background too and a synopsis. I know that's hard, but folks can look at your website too to read the fascinating story of Matthew Pollard. But tell us a little bit how you got to introversion as a calling in your life right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think going back to your original statement around sales and helping the cause, see, I've always defined sales, well, actually, the world should define sales by the original definition, which is the Scandinavian term to serve. So I always find the best way that I can serve the introverted community is to get the word out. And that's why I'm unrelenting at, you know, for instance, we're recording this during National Introverts Week, right? So that was a week I founded to get the message out about National Introverts Week. We have a summit that we run during this year. We run during the week. We do a whole bunch of things to really drive attention to the topic. And I think that's always the way that I've looked at sales. How can I separate everything from the noise you hear online and offline? Because, you know, I teach people how to sell. Sure, I teach people how to network. But my goal is to teach you how to master the networking room so you never have to go back to one, so that people are chasing you so sales is easier. And
hi, this is Jennifer Konweiler, host of the Introvert Ally podcast. Today, my guest is Matthew Pollard. Matthew is responsible for 5 multi-million dollar business success stories, all before the age of 30. He believes that his humble beginnings, the adversities he faced, and his rise to success show that anyone with the right motivation and strategies can achieve anything they set their mind to. He's on the top list of global gurus, Sales World, and